Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to IndiGo's conference call to discuss the second quarter of fiscal year 2021 financial results. My name is Aman, and I'll be your coordinator. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. A question and answer session will follow today's management discussion. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I now like to hand the conference over to your moderator, Mr. Ankur Goyal, Head of Investor Relations for IndiGo. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the second quarter of fiscal year 2021 earnings call. We hope that you and your families are safe in these difficult times. We have with us the Chief Executive Officer, Dhananjay Datta, and our Chief Financial Officer, Aditya Pandey, to take you through a performance for the quarter. Wolfgang Prochschauer, our Chief Operating Officer, and Sanjay Kumar, our Chief Strategy and Revenue Officer, are also with us and are available for the Q&A session. Before we begin, please note that today's discussion may contain certain statements on our business or financials which may be construed as forward-looking. Our actual results may be materially different from these forward-looking statements. The information provided on this call is as of today's date, and we undertake no obligation to update the information subsequently. A transcript of today's call will also be archived on our website. We will upload the transcript of today's prepared remarks within an hour. The transcript of the Q&A session will be uploaded subsequently. With this, let me hand over the call to Ronald Datta.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call. I trust all is well at your end. We reported a net loss of 11.9 billion rupees in the September quarter, compared to a net loss of 10.6 billion rupees in the same period last year. Given the government restrictions in place for capacity deployment, we could only deploy around 37% of last year's capacity. We were able to add capacity throughout the quarter and ended up in September at around 47% of last September's capacity. As you all know, IndiGo has always been an exceptionally well-run airline. And since we were restarting the airline after the lockdown, we were determined to use this opportunity to get better at everything we do. Thus, we set aggressive goals for ourselves, for improving our product delivery, customer service, brand value, employee engagement, cost reduction, liquidity, and revenue generation. I would like to share some of the specific changes that our teams have implemented since the restart of operations. Our operation team developed new processes for customer service to ensure the highest standards of public health and safety. Our digital team is on an ambitious plan for digitizing all customer touchpoints, from the initial reservations to bag delivery. The new mantra of our digital team is no more paperwork, no queues or phone calls. Let's digitize everything. We launched all cargo flights as a standalone revenue stream. Somewhat incredibly, we are now carrying more cargo at much lower capacity than we did at 100% capacity. We set sensible goals for cost reduction and are making good progress on several fronts. Once we get our capacity back to reasonable levels, our unit cost will probably be lower than what we had before the operational shutdown. We focused on our cash balance as a key priority. Aditya will give you an update on our cash position and cost reduction measures when he takes you through the financial performance in detail. Our commercial team has artfully fashioned a new network that observes all the capacity restrictions and yet maximizes revenue. Simultaneously, we've been able to transform ourselves from purely scheduled carrier to one also adding charter operations, and this has significantly enhanced our revenue performance. Our operation team set higher goals for on-time performance, customer complaint handling, and baggage delivery. Since June 20, we've been number one or number two in terms of on-time performance. We continue to return a classic engine aircraft, thereby increasing our overall fleet efficiency. we wanted to improve our brand perception. Our lean, clean flying machine seems to be having a lot of traction in the marketplace. While we wanted to design an even better and upgraded Indigo, we very much wanted to preserve our greatest and most critical strength, which is a tightly bonded and enthusiastic employee culture. I am pleased to report that we are encouraged with the progress we are making on several underlying measures of strength. We are ranked as the safest airline in India by the Safe Travel Barometer, which is the world's most comprehensive database for COVID-19 traveler health and safety, and has released the safe travel scores for airlines worldwide. Our net promoter score continues to improve and is even higher than the last quarter. Further, improvement in our product has resulted in a higher customer preference for our airline. And as a result, we are carrying higher number of passengers at around 58% of domestic passengers in September versus 48% in January. I am pleased to be able to report that Indigo is now positioned as the 33rd most valuable brand in India by Campaign India. This is a significant jump of 52 positions from a year ago. Our internal employee engagement scores are at an all-time high. It is heartening to know that employees feel inspired and motivated even during these difficult times. Our low levels of aircraft utilization continue to remain a major concern, and the fact that we were only able to fly around 37% of our capacity had a significant impact on our financial performance. However, we've been gradually increasing our capacity, and we hope to be utilizing 60% of our third quarter fiscal 2020 capacity in terms of ASKs in the third quarter of 2021. Talking about the revenue performance during the quarter, on a year-over-year basis, our yield has improved by almost 9%. But our load factors are down by 18.5 points, leading to a reduction in RASK, or unit revenue, by 5.4%. I am pleased to note that our September end free cash balance was 69.7 billion rupees, which is higher than our internal forecast. We acknowledge that we still have a lot to do in terms of complete recovery to pre-pandemic levels. But I'd like to assure you that this management team is working diligently to address all the risks and opportunities that are on the table. And with that, let me hand over the call to Aditya to discuss the financial performance in further detail.
Thank you, Rono, and good evening, everyone. For the quarter ended September 2020, we reported a net loss of 11.9 billion rupees compared to a loss after tax of 10.6 billion rupees on a year-over-year basis. We reported an EBITDA of 4.1 billion rupees compared to an EBITDA of 2.6 billion rupees during the same period last year. During the quarter, we operated at 36.7% of our year-over-year capacity, which is somewhat lower than our previous guidance of 40%. The gap was primarily driven by capacity restrictions imposed by various state governments for a considerable part of the quarter, which had an impact on the pace of our capacity deployment. The key highlights of our performance during the quarter can be best summarized by the following points. We operated at a load factor of 61.1%, an increase of 3.8 points as compared to the previous quarter sequentially. On a year-over-year basis, our yields increased by 8.9% to 3.83 rupees. However, our RASK reduced by 5.4% to 3.24 rupees, primarily driven by reduction in our load factors by 18.5 points. Our passenger and cargo charters continue to perform well, adding to our overall revenue performance. Our fuel cost decreased by 43.4% compared to 32.2% reduction in average ATF prices on a year-over-year basis. Our overall fuel management policies, including a mix of efficient engines, effective purchasing contracts, and initiatives for reducing fuel burn, are one of the bright spots in our performance. Our ancillary revenues, including cargo, continues to be strong, helping us to generate much-needed revenue at this time. Moving on to the most important update on our cash position and liquidity. We ended the quarter with a free cash of 69.7 billion rupees, reduction of 5.6 billion rupees as compared to free cash at 30th June 20. As we have added more capacity, our net cash burn per day reduced from 300 million rupees per day in June 20 to an average of 250 million rupees per day in the quarter. We have spoken about various liquidity initiatives totaling to 60 billion rupees in our past calls. During the quarter, despite a tough environment, we have secured sanction for working capital from a bank that can help infuse additional liquidity of 6 billion rupees. This sanction also demonstrates the faith lenders have in our balance sheet and resilience of the company. Of the 66 billion rupees of potential liquidity increase, half has already been raised and the other half will be raised in the next couple of quarters. We continue to work on more options to enhance liquidity even further. While our board has approved raising of funds by way of qualified institutional placement aggregating 40 billion rupees, we are currently looking at all debt options before we take any decision for this fundraise. Further, on the basis of the current revenue improvements, we are deferring the decision of QIP till the end of December 2020. Now let me give you an update on the cost front. Supplementary rentals and maintenance costs. This cost comprises two major components. First is the supplementary rentals that are largely variable, and second, other maintenance costs that are largely fixed or event-based. Given that we have deployed only 37% of our capacity compared to the pre-COVID period, this number is lower than historical levels. We expect this number to increase as we keep on deploying more capacity. Our payroll costs reduced by 35.5% as compared to the March quarter, as all our initiatives on payroll cost reduction have taken full effect in this quarter. On the other key balance sheet numbers, we ended the quarter with capitalized operating lease liability of 229.3 billion rupees and total debt, including the capitalized operating lease liability, of 254.2 billion rupees. In summary, we are in a stable position with respect to our liquidity, our costs have come down, and the increase in capacity is further improving our net cash burn. However, we also understand that times are still unpredictable and we need to continue to fight a battle against this pandemic. With this, let me hand it back to Ankur.
Thank you, Rono and Aditya. To answer as many questions as possible, I would like to request that each participant limit themselves to one question and one brief follow-up question if needed. And with that, we are ready for the Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sonal Gupta from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thanks for taking my question. Wanted to understand what I was trying to understand is what is the clarity there is now on the international operations, because when you're guiding for like 60% utilization of fleet and last year almost like 25% of fleet was sort of deployed on international. So, I mean, you're sort of implying if there was no international, like almost 80% of domestic would be sort of back. So just wanted to get what is the clarity on the international side? How do you see that ramping up?
So let me answer the question more broadly on overall capacity, because I'm sure there'll be other follow-up questions on this. So first let's talk of domestic and then I'll also go into international. Domestic at this point, as we said last quarter, we ended September with about 47%. Today as we speak, we are close to 60%, slightly short of 60%. Now, all indications are that the government will be lifting that capacity cap, which right now is 60% domestically, to around 80% soon. We don't know when that will happen, but we are encouraged by the discussions that are going on. So our best guess is domestically we'll be at 80% capacity by the end of the year, early next year. Now let me talk about international specifically. We have been doing international in various ways through, as you know, Vande Bharat flights, charters and bubble flights. How much exactly are we doing? Well, September over September, if you look at all international flights, they were at 20% of last September. Last September to this September, that's where we are. The government continues to increase more bubble flights. Bangladesh is opening up and so forth. We know there will be no scheduled service till the end of November at least. After that, how quickly it will progress, we don't know. But to answer your question, right now we are at about 20% internationally, and then we'll have to wait and see. Domestically, we are a little more aggressive in terms of our expectations.
Sure. Thanks. I'll join back with you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Shah from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to check in terms of the lease rentals, which we would have deferred during the first half. We see that in the cash flow statement, there are probably about 1,300 crores of lease rental payments which are reflected. How much of the rentals would be deferred here and not reflected in the cash flow?
So, as we said, even during the last quarter, we have not deferred any lease payment. So, we are current on all our lease payments, and we continue to honor them as per the schedule. So, you know, we were current in 1Q, and we continue to be current in second quarter as well. So, there is no pendency on the lease payments as such.
Sure. Fine. I'll come back in with you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lokesh Garg from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
I wanted to ask you a question on fleet plan. Basically, we have seen fleet has continued to grow while obviously the utilization, as you said, remains in the 37% range. So, should we expect a large bunched fleet, sort of lease plane returns at the end of the year? And there are planes coming up currently also, which is both NEO and 321 NEOs. Is there any update that you can share in terms of renegotiation with Airbus on any delivery delays or any delivery timeline renegotiations?
So we always had a plan to return the classic CEO aircraft, and we are still on track on that. We're returning them as fast as we can, but according to our old plan. And then between our operations team and maintenance and aircraft finance, they've done a great job in terms of despite the disruptions that you're seeing worldwide, a lot of planes have been placed with MROs across the world in terms of returning these airplanes. So we are on track on that, and those numbers are quite large, 30, 40 a year, and we continue to return those. As far as the deliveries are concerned, we're not doing any major renegotiations with Airbus. We're taking whatever was on plan. There's a push-pull every month to month because they want to delay one, we want to accelerate one, but largely we are on track. So our fleet plan is very stable. It hasn't changed much, and we are proceeding according to our plans.
Sure. So basically between, let's say, June to September, there is only 6 CEO planes that seems to have reduced. If the plan is to do 30, 40 each year, then a lot of them would go towards December, is it?
Wolfgang, you want to take that question?
Yeah, you are basically... You are on the right track, so to say, because during this lockdown situation, there was a slight delay, but it was always on track, and now the returns are catching up, and we see getting the lease returns getting momentum, so we can balance whatever comes in. We balance somehow with lease returns, and that's our strategy with this fast return cycle that we keep. Make our fleet younger, by this way, and stabilize the fleet, as Bruno has mentioned.
Sure, I'll get back in the queue for more questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepika Mundra from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and thanks for the opportunity.
May we request you to use the handset or come in network area, please?
Hi, I'm audible now?
Yes, slightly better. But still the audio is breaking.
Okay, I'm just going to keep it short. So on your ASP guidance, you mentioned...
I'm sorry to interrupt. May I please request you to redial in again, please?
Okay, sure. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Garg from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes. Sir, thanks for the opportunity. The question is that how's the cash position? Because we at present this quarter we had a loss of about 1100 crores, out of which 500 crores was boosted by the forex gain. So effectively loss of 1600 crores if we leave aside the forex part. But the cash position is not, has not decreased by that much amount. So whether any monetization of assets etc. has taken place. And then there is a second question regarding the supplementary rentals. The though the flights have improved vis-a-vis Q1, supplementary rental amount is same. So is any renegotiation or some deferment has taken place on the supplementary rental part?
So I'll take these. So you're right. I mean, we have infused liquidity. Even if you recall, at the end of last quarter, we had mentioned that, you know, we will generate 6,000 crores of liquidity. So we have infused some liquidity out of that, including selling some of our assets, you know, as we had called out earlier. So that's where you see the delta between the losses and the net cash burn. So our net cash burn from 7,400 is down to, our cash is down from 7,400 to 6,900. So net cash burn for us is 500 crores for the quarter. So that's your answer to your first question. So supplementary rentals between second quarter and third quarter are up. They are up by about roughly 100 crores. And that's primarily driven by the fact that we put more capacity. And since we put more capacity, supplementary rentals driven by capacity have obviously increased. So you've seen an increase. It's not to the range of where it originally was in March or in periods which were, prevailing earlier. But there has been an increase largely driven by capacity. So last quarter, this number was 739 crores. This has gone up to 842 crores in the current quarter.
Sir, earlier I think there was some deferment of the supplementary rental. So still that deferment is continuing.
So the way to think about deferment of supplementary rental is that we neither owe them as well. So how the process works is that we would have put up an LC upfront at the beginning of the year. And that reconciles at the end of the year basis the usage of the aircraft. The fact that we are not deploying capacity anyway because of the situation, we have worked with the lessors to make sure that we don't put up those LCs as well. So effectively, we are neither putting them up nor are we paying. So it's not as if there will be a catch-up of this after 6 months or 9 months.
Okay. And sir, how much monetization was done during this quarter?
So we did an overall monetization of 1,800 crores in the quarter.
In the quarter. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Achal Kumar from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking the question. I had one. So first of all, on the cash, just taking the last question forward. So I can see that the owned aircraft has reduced from 39 to 22. So does that mean you have done the sale and lease back of all the unencumbered aircraft and you don't have any more aircraft to the sale and lease back?
No, we've got seven more ATRs that we're going to put on a sale and lease back structure in the current quarter. What we have done so far are four ATRs and three CEO engines that we own, CEO planes that we own.
And that's what you're showing 1,000 crores in your cash flow statement, right?
Right.
Okay. The second thing, I also want to understand the PDP burden. So now what is the status with your CFM engine and what kind of PDP burden you see due to the CFM and due to the new aircraft coming in? Is there any change in the PDP burden because the leasing market is changing? So what kind of PDP burden you are expecting?
So there is no incremental PDP burden on us. I mean, this is as per a contract that we have negotiated with Airbus. And we continue down the same path. It's neither gone up nor has it come down. So we continue with the same PDP payments that are as per our contract and plan with Airbus.
Even with the CFM?
Yes, I mean, this is with Airbus. I mean, these payments are through Airbus. CFM is an engine provider to Airbus. So whatever our contract is with Airbus, we continue down the same path.
Okay, right. The last question I wanted to understand about the yield, because the fares remain so low and still the yields are very high. So basically, what is the situation with the underlying yield and what is it that is feeding into this yield to be so strong?
I'll let Sanjay answer the question since he worked his magic. What did you do, Sanjay?
So yields are better compared to last year, same quarter. And I would contribute this to be, you know, basically the directional demand. If you remember in the first quarter of the year, we had people moving out from metro to non-metros and other cities. But now what we saw in the quarter two was traffic returning back to the metros. So that was one reason we saw huge demand in those markets from metro, non-metros to metros. And then also there was a limitation on the capacity side. There is still some constraint as far as, you know, some markets are concerned, like Calcutta and Mumbai, which are still constrained due to the local state regulations. And that is also because of the lack of capacity in those markets, we are seeing better yield. So overall, it is the combination of lesser capacity, increased demand in the marketplace, which has kind of helped us in terms of yield improvement.
And I would add to that, the charter yields have also been very good.
That's correct.
So we're pushing that as hard as we can.
Yeah, it's a combination of all these. I mean, charter also is an important aspect of this.
Look, we said always that as we restart, we will design the network as artfully as possible in order to pick the right markets, the right frequencies, and that's what you're seeing in the yield improvement. I think our commercial team between planning and sales and revenue management, they've done a great job in picking all the right destinations and schedules.
Right. Last question, but I'll come in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepika Mundra from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I hope you can hear me now. Just a couple of questions from my side. So firstly, on the ASP, I think last quarter you all mentioned 60% to 70% in the December quarter it should be operational. Now you're mentioning 60. Is there a tone, are your expectations slightly lower for the festive period? And secondly, on the yield, last two quarters have been very strong. As more of your capacity becomes operational, do you see this advantage dissipating? Thanks.
Okay, so let's clarify the capacity issue. We are close to 60% right now as we speak today. We're not at 60, we're at around 58. So we're not saying 60% by the end of the year. Now, can we go above 60? That will depend mostly on the government, because we are capped at 60 right now. We are hopeful that the government is going to increase it to 80% in the next couple of weeks or so. And if the government does, then we'll be at 80% by the end of the year. I hope there's no confusion on that. We're at 60 now, hope to be at 80. As to the yields, what happens as capacity grows up? One of the problems we are facing, of course, is normally, as you know, we like to have a 3-month booking curve. So when we open new capacity, we said let it book for 3 months before we actually start flying. That's obviously not happening today. So if the government says add 80, we'll go to 80 within 10 days, which means 10 days of booking. So obviously it starts off somewhat soft, but then it picks up very quickly. So that's why we're saying we're stair-stepping our way to higher revenues, because it's not moving smoothly. It's like, okay, the government says 45, we're at 45, the government says 60. We open up a bunch of new cities and schedules and frequencies. They don't book immediately, obviously. So there's a lag for 2 weeks, but then it picks up nicely. So that's what we're seeing. And if the government now goes to 80, we'll have a temporary stall, if you will. Our revenue won't immediately go up. But it seems to go up in 2-3 weeks. That's why we're quite positive on it. And look, I think it's important to make this statement. Back in March, we had no idea what's going to happen, right? I mean, we had all these scenarios. Things are really bad to things are get better quickly. The good news is, given the last 4 or 5 months of experience, all those really bad scenarios are off the table. Yeah, things won't get great quickly, but things are definitely not as bad as we might have feared back in March. So all that gives us room for some optimism.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Binay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi team, thanks for the opportunity. Apologies if in case this question has already been answered. But what would be your exit cash burn for Q2 per month? Like in Q1, we were saying it was around $120 million.
So our exit, our average cash burn for the quarter is 25 crores a day. This number was 30 crores a day at the end of last quarter.
Okay. The salary number that is being reflected into the quarter, is it reflecting the staff cuts that you had?
Yes, the staff cuts got effective this quarter, so that does reflect the staff cuts as well.
It actually captures three things: the staff cuts, the pay cuts, and the leave without pay. All those three things are coming into.
Right, it's a combination of all the three.
So in a way, this number will not fall further. It should largely remain around this level.
So yeah, it will not change too much, but you know, I mean, as capacity comes back, I mean, the leave without pay may settle back a little bit. So there'll be some differences around that. But it is, I mean, we're sticking to our earlier guidance of this being 30% lower than the pre-COVID levels. So we are comfortable with that.
Right, and just lastly, one question. Could you talk a little bit about customer mix change pre-COVID to now? You know, anything on corporate or what sort of customers are traveling today versus earlier? That's it. Thank you.
Yes, Sanjay will take that question.
So the pre-COVID level, the corporate business and the business traveler, if I may put it, used to be about 50% of the overall traffic. But now post-COVID and since the resumption of the flight, this traffic is still yet to come back to the original level. I think as we are expanding and opening up our capacity on a month-on-month basis, and more customers are flying, and with the experience which they are getting, I think it is a matter of time we will start seeing the corporates also coming back. And just to kind of put some perspective, we are seeing some traction already happening, especially from the SMEs and individual businessmen coming on board, doing their business, traveling for their business. So that thing is already happening. While it is nowhere comparison to the pre-COVID level, but we hope that next few months, I think things will start to change there as well.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhinav Bhandari from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just continuing on the staff cost once again, there was expected to be a one-time, settlement fee, if you can say that, to come in Q2 as well for the 10% of the workforce. So is that included in this number of the employee cost for this quarter?
Yes, that number, the severance pay that we paid out to the employees is included in this number.
So to that extent, next quarter may not have that number. So if you can guide what's the ballpark number for that?
So we not giving a quarterly guidance of this number. What we are saying is that, you know, we will be 30% lower than what we committed, that we guided earlier from the pre-COVID levels.
Sure. And the other question was on the other current liabilities, which have fallen sharply in balance sheet. So if you can just guide on what has happened there.
Other current liabilities.
Yeah, it's come up from about, I think, 2400 odd crores to 1700 odd crores.
Okay, here's what I said. Aditya is looking at those numbers right now. So let's take the next question and we'll come back and answer.
Yeah, I got the answer. I mean, so a couple of things have happened over here. One, you know, we were carrying a large credit shell at the beginning of the quarter. That credit shell, has come down. Secondly, also, we were carrying forward sales, which were higher at the end of March from where you're seeing the comparisons. Those forward sales are lower as well. As you can imagine, our capacity that we're deploying is much lower. So those are the two factors driving this 2415 down to 1758.
Got it. Thanks much and best wishes.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Aditya Mongia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. The question which I had was more on the international aspirations of Indigo and the recent ATMs or slots that Indigo has won at the London Heathrow Airport. I wanted to get a sense from you that is this a serious step towards starting flights from London to India, or more like an experiment at this point of time?
So look, our international aspirations are high, but they're geared towards narrow bodies and sort of narrow body range. So as soon as the international opens up, we hope to again expand in all directions as fast as we can, but with the narrow bodies. And the wide bodies, we've looked at it many times, and again, until the numbers work for us, we're not going to do it. And I have to say the numbers are looking better now than they did before, primarily because the wide body costs have come down so much. Fuel is down. All that has helped, but it's still not in the green. It's still showing red. So we don't want to do it till the numbers turn green, basically is our viewpoint. So it's still a watch and wait. But without that, on the narrow body side, we want to expand very quickly as soon as the capacity restrictions are removed.
Fair. Just a second question from my side. You talked about a loss number of 25 crores on an average basis. Would you be able to provide the loss number as of end of September or the current number on a daily basis?
You know, we guide based on what is in the quarter because, you know, there's a lot of seasonality in this number. For example, as we're now getting into the festive season, we will see an improvement in this cash fund. So I think it's good to look at it from an overall quarter perspective. So we were 30 crores last quarter. We are 25 crores on an average this quarter. And we hope as we keep on building capacity and as business starts coming back, this number will keep on decreasing as we go ahead.
Sure. I will get back into the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Patni from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for taking my questions. My first question is for Aditya. Aditya, just wanted to help this reconciliation. The cash balance that we started March with versus the cash burn that you speak about, 30 crore and 25 crore, and the 1,800 crore monetization that you mentioned you did in this quarter. Based on that, our sense is that probably another 3,000 crore worth of monetization is what we could do, to achieve that number. Is that ballpark right? Another 3,000 crore worth of monetization that could happen over the next 3 to 6 months?
So you're bang on the number. We will be just slightly ahead of 3,000 crores of monetization in the next couple of quarters. So that number, your number is absolutely right.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for that. And secondly, just to double check, when we talk about yields, in case of charter flights, we are also taking into consideration the ASKs for the charter flight, right? That's how we get to these yields.
Yes.
Okay, both of us, okay, very helpful. Thank you and good set of numbers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayur Milak from BOB Capital. Please go ahead.
The question number, just wanted to understand a couple of things here. So when you said that the ASK for the quarter stands here, ideally, I'm trying to understand that this is more like a supply, right? So how did the supply really come off? I mean, from the quarterly perspective.
The supply of the ASKs, you're saying? Well,
yes.
I mean, yeah, the supply of the ASKs is based mostly on the government restriction. So when we started in March, the government said you can, everyone, not just Indigo, you can all fly 25% of capacity. So we all did. And then the government said you can now fly 45% capacity, so we bumped up there. Then the government said you can fly 60% capacity, so we bumped up to 58. And although the central government is saying 60, state governments are sort of restricting us. So as you know, Mumbai, Chennai, Kolkata, they have their own restrictions. So we don't quite reach 60 as a result. So is that the question you're having? Where did the supply, why is the supply restricted? Is it restricted by government restrictions?
Yeah, and then when this happens, all the other expenses relating to the aircraft, the fixed cost, whether there's the sub-maintenance cost or the rental cost. Does that also get equaled down to the supply that is available during the quarter, or that really stays for the entire fleet that we have?
Well, the leasing costs are fixed. So those are period costs, and we incur them irrespective of the capacity. Maintenance costs have got two elements of it. One is the variable element, which you're right. It varies based on how much you fly, which is supplementary rental. But there are fixed elements that are independent of capacity. So, you know, you have to incur the fixed element. So that's how our costs are overall made up of.
All right. And fuel, of course, I'd want to believe only to the tune that you fly. But you incur the entire cost, right? And part of it would have got covered into the cargoes also that you would have particularly taken.
No, so fuel is variable. Fuel is based on how much capacity we fly. So, for example, if we are not flying an aircraft with that capacity, we will not incur the fuel cost associated with it.
Yes.
So therefore, you will see a fairly sharp drop in our fuel costs, even as compared to our capacity deployed. That's primarily because, A, the rates are lower from last year, and you know, we're flying more efficient planes than we were doing last year, the NEO aircraft. Fuel is totally variable.
All right. And just last question, we've seen the other income also come off. So is that more a relation to the kind of cash flow that we've had, and that is why you see the other income really come off?
Look, other income doesn't have any relation, because our cash, average cash for the quarter has not been down that much compared to last year. That you're seeing because, as you're aware, I mean, our rates have come down fairly dramatically. What we earn on the assets or the investments that you put in the market. I mean, the mutual fund returns are down, fixed deposit returns are down. I mean, you know, I mean, compared to last year, those yields are down fairly significantly. That's contributing to our interest income being down.
All right. Yeah, that is all. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arvind Sharma from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Just wanted to get some more clarity on the non-scheduled and scheduled operations. So if you could give a breakup of ASKs and RPKs between scheduled and non-scheduled, that would be really great.
So I think we told you what the international is. That international, we are doing 20% of last September's capacity, and most of the schedule, non-scheduled charters, Vande Bharat, bubbles are all international. There's some domestic, but very little.
Okay, and in the domestic, there is no non-scheduled flight. So whatever we see beyond the monthly data that you show is essentially the non-scheduled international flights. That's all there.
I say 95%. There's about 5-6% of domestic charters. Sometimes people want to do something to Jaipur for a wedding or something. So there are a few of those, but very few.
And this number should sustain till the regular operations start?
Well, we hopefully will grow because more countries are coming into the bubble flights. As I said, Bangladesh just opened. We are hoping Nepal opens. So, and we are pushing the government to include more and more. So, you know, like Kuwait came online a few weeks ago. So we hope that it will grow, but it's not growing in leaps and bounds. It's growing slowly.
But it will not be for a monthly basis. So it will be a very lumpy sort of an operation.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. But we are hoping that after November, things will open up more aggressively.
Thank you so much. That's all from us. Thanks so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Makharia from HDFC. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just a couple of questions. You know, our fleet was 245 planes last year. This year, we are already up to 282. I understand there's going to be a rundown on the CEOs and a scale-up on the NEOs. But what is the peak plane capacity we would reach from which, you know, we would start stabilizing?
So, look, for the next couple of years, we'll see a slow drift down. It's not going to be sharp. We'll continue to take delivery of new airplanes. We'll continue to push out the CEOs. So our fleet count will stagnate and go down a little. But from 2023, we'll be back up again. So I'd say flat to down for a couple of years and then up again.
So you're saying in 22 we would still be up, and then
we'll
be down.
No, other way around. In 22 we'll be down slightly. By 23 we'll be up again.
Okay.
This is all fiscal year.
Okay. Fair. Second, you know, sir, obviously because of what's happening in terms of, you know, the volumes coming down sharply, are you seeing any players who are withdrawing from the market or, you know, any?
None whatsoever, no. I mean, Jet is coming into the market, so there'll probably be more players.
Okay, so nothing on the competitive intensity easing in that sense?
No, not at all.
Okay. And just last one housekeeping question, the cargo revenues, what were they this quarter and, you know, how we've accounted for it?
Well, cargo is a very good story for us. So year over year, if you look at this quarter versus last year's this quarter, cargo revenues are up 20%, which is a pretty staggering number in my mind, given that our capacity was down to 37%. And as you know, we don't even have any freighters. So I think our people, both in operations and cargo, have been very, very innovative in dealing with this whole opportunity. No freighters at all, and yet just with cargo in the cabin and so forth, our cargo revenues are up 20%. Not only is it up, the trend is also up. So if I look at the year-over-year numbers, in July, our cargo revenue was up 9%. In August, our cargo revenue was up 20%. In September, our cargo revenue year over year was up 27%. And I'm like, wow, this is a good trend. And again, hats off to our people in cargo division sales, in our operations for making this all work. But cargo has been a very good story for us.
Sure. So could you just quantify the revenue from cargo this quarter?
We don't give a breakup of the cargo revenue. I mean, it's very strong, as we said, when we see the trend continuing.
Okay, got you.
You can see the strength in the ancillary revenues. Most of that is driven by cargo.
Okay, got you. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarfaraz Temani from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my question. So I wanted to, have further understanding on the cash part. So last quarter, we saw that we had a loss of around 2,800 crores, whereas our cash came down by only 14 crores. This quarter, we had this monetization down of around 1,800 crores. Still, we are losing of around 500 crores of cash. So any understanding or, equation that you can give for this calculation, please?
I mean, I can talk about the current quarter. I mean, current quarter, we started with 7,400 crores of cash.
Correct.
I said we burned 25 crores a day. So that makes your cash fund about 2,300 crores for the quarter. And then on top of that, we added 1,800 crores of liquidity. That gets us to our 6,970 crores of cash. So that's a little bit of the math on the cash.
Got it. And again, a follow-up on the previous question that was asked by somebody else, that we are almost close to around 3,300 crores of liquidity generated in last 6 months, and still we have around 2,800 crores of liquidity to be generated. So assuming that employee cost stays around current level, all as you said that the loss without pay guys can come back, will this happen only with further, say, sale and leaseback of the assets that you already own in terms of the planes that we have, or do we have other avenues also?
So those are largely all the liquidity actions that we laid out. I mean, it includes the sale and leaseback, of the assets that we own. It includes aircraft deliveries that we take, any gain that we make on that. We've had some very fruitful discussions with our vendors and partners, so we've got additional liquidity coming out of it, which is permanent. We also talked about bank giving us a working capital line, which adds another 600 crores of liquidity to us. So it's a bunch of different things that brings the liquidity here. And we continue to run down all options from a liquidity perspective. I mean, we're hopeful that we'll add more as we go along the way.
I just want to clarify something on the employee cost side. There have been a number of questions about you were down 35% and so forth. Will it stay there?
Mm-hmm.
As we add capacity back, you should expect our employee cost to go up because we do have leave without pay, and our goal is to remove that leave without pay as quickly as possible. And as soon as our capacity goes up, we'll remove those pay restrictions. So you shouldn't expect that the employee pay costs will stay at these levels. They will creep up.
But we do stick to our guidance of what we gave right at the beginning, 30% lower employee cost from pre-pandemic levels.
Yeah. Correct. Which is almost closely achieved, I believe. And I also have just one last question to Rono, sir, that he said we might be around 80% of the capacity by, say, end of this calendar year or, say, fourth quarter of FY21. Just to, have a ballpark number, when can we expect it to reach 100% domestically, if not internationally, be it first quarter of next year? Asking in terms of the challenge that we are seeing in terms of PLFs, so what can those be around? Like when metro to metro is coming back, can we see it going back to, say, 80% odd?
So, again, the capacity of 80% is very much dependent, first of all, on the government lifting the cap to that level. That hasn't happened yet. We are hoping it happens by the end of the year. If the government is ready, we are ready. Then from 80 to go to 100, again, the same dynamic supply. If the government lifts it, we'll lift it. And what seems to be happening is the government is watching it for 3-4 months and saying, okay, now lift it. So they go from 25 to 45, watch it, go from 45 to 60, 60, we are hoping 80, I don't know. And then they won't immediately go to 100 the next month, they'll probably wait for 3-4 months. So if you follow that trajectory, we would hope, this is all forecasting, not real confidence that will happen, is that by December we'll be at 80%, and hopefully by April, May of next year we'll be at 100%, if the government in fact allows that. And that's domestic only, by the way. We're not talking international.
Thank you. Mr. Damani, request you to join the question queue for any follow-ups. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashisha from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Just one question. In terms of the pricing which is prevailing in the market right now, you think that the floor on the fares, which is imposed by the government, that is keeping the pricing above the floor, and once the floor goes away, would you believe that there is a potential for prices to correct further, or there is rationality prevailing and that might not happen?
We don't operate airline to yields or prices. We look at unit revenues. And we feel the less restrictions, the better. We can be creative in different markets and different times. As you know, airline traffic is very, very dynamic and volatile. The demand on Tuesdays is very different from demand on Fridays. The demand in November is very different from demand in February. The demand one way to Rachi is very different from demand out of Rachi. So we're like, hey, how can you fix fares? Just leave it up to the different airlines to decide what is right and what is wrong. This any kind of sort of restriction, caps, guidelines might work on a certain day of the week. It might work in a certain market. It might work in a certain month. But on a month-to-month, week-to-week, day-to-day, hell no. No one can decide what the fare cap is. So we're saying just open it up. Let the airlines decide.
Sure. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Sheth from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just one clarification on the working capital. You say the 50% we have availed, that has came in Q2 or in the month of October?
No, the 50% that we have availed has come in over the 6 months from the pandemic. So that's from April to September.
Okay, and in terms of we are still at 25 crore daily average cash burn. At 80 and our load factors are still at 65 around. Any given the all the cost control and cost optimization we have been done so far past 6 months, what can be our break even if at all when we reach at 80 or 100 over the next year?
So that's a, you know, it's a tough question to answer because, you know, there's so many factors associated with break-even. I mean, the yields have to continue, comparative behavior has to continue the same way, fuel and effects have to remain where they are. So it's very difficult to give a guidance as to where do you end up being break-even as such. So, you know, there's, you'll be very careful to estimate a particular number as to at what level of break-even. There's just so many variables that play at it. It's very difficult to call out a number at which you will get to break-even. But if everything remains the way it is today and nothing really changes, you know, upwards of 85% or slightly higher, we can achieve break-even. But again, I'll caution you against the fact that there are too many underlying assumptions to it, and even one assumption changing can fairly dramatically change that number. So it's not a number that you should go to the bank with.
Right. And 1800 asset monetization doesn't include the 300 crore of working capital, right?
300 crore of working capital, I didn't understand. I mean, we said 3,300 crores of overall liquidity over the last 6 months.
Yeah, so working capital, you have tied around 600 crore, of which 50% has came, right, over the past 6 months.
So it's not. Now, I got your question now. So the working capital is a line available to us. We've not tapped into it so far. So it's available for us to utilize. It's something that we have signed up only this quarter, in the current quarter. It wasn't effective last year. So it's something that we can tap into if we have a need.
So that is where I was getting confused on the cash, you know, burn. You explained 2,300 crore of cash loss, 1,800 crore of asset monetization. I was considering 300 crores, which you mentioned that 50% gave them. That is where I was. Now it's clear.
No, just to clarify, that number is something that we've not tapped into so far.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. So I just got two questions in terms of both in terms of the SLB margins and the lease cost. So we've seen the SLB margins this quarter, and how is it going to trend is what the sense I wanted from you. And also in terms of the lease cost, what kind of renegotiations are happening on that front, given the competition is deferring every payment while we are paying very promptly. So what kind of benefits could come accrue to us in the coming quarters on that front? That's it from us.
We are current on all our lease costs, and there is no renegotiation to reduce the lease costs. In fact, you know, there is no renegotiation that the lessors will entertain. And this is not about Indigo, this is about any other enterprise that they would be dealing with. I mean, these are fairly period in nature and fixed in nature, and there will not be, you know, any renegotiation on them. These are costs that we keep on holding. Obviously, as new planes come in, they have their own separate economics. But old planes that we acquired at earlier dates, they continue to be at the levels that they were, and we continue to honor them, and we have not been delaying any of our lease payments. And your first part of a question I didn't get. If you could repeat that again, please.
So, carrying forward on the lease part, what I'm saying is that given the environment that is currently and the interest cost falls and everything that has happened, the lease rentals on the new plane from the next day, what kind of benefits are we seeing on that plane?
So, you know, the way to think about it is, yes, lease rents have fallen. The rates, the interest rates have fallen. But also remember that the risk perception for an airline typically has gone up. So net, if you balance both out, I mean, there's not been any dramatic change in the economics of leasing overall. So, you know, that's something that you should keep in mind. I mean, yes, your headline rates that you see globally have obviously reduced, but risk perception of airlines has also gone up. So, you know, our economics remain similar to what they were earlier.
Okay. So the first part of my question was basically in terms of the SLB profits that we generated this quarter. How are those profits going forward? Do we see that to sustain, or is there a falling trend or an upward trend on that direction?
The trend is stable. It's neither falling, it's neither rising. I mean, we continue to get similar economics we had last quarter and the current quarter. And the market actually is coming back. I won't use the word strongly, but it's coming back well. When there are more players who had exited the market are coming back again. So the market is getting more liquid as we speak.
And I just point out that, you know, there's been a lot of disruption on the wide body side. Residual values have fallen, lease rates have come down, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of volatility and disruption. On the narrow body side, and particularly on the Airbus side, it's a relatively stable market. Residual values have not plummeted. Lease rates have held up reasonably well. So it is a stable market.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ankur Goyal for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
So thank you all for joining us. Hope to see you next quarter as well.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Indigo, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.